Good morning, good morning, good morning. Glad you're with us here today. Thank you for worshiping God the way that you have today. What a wonderful, wonderful morning it's been. In your Bibles, I need you to open up to the book of Ezekiel 34. Get your Bibles turned there and read along with me. Ezekiel 34, we're going to begin there. And then I need you to also turn in your Bibles, put a pencil or a marker or your bulletin over in Hebrews 13. We're going to be looking at these two passages this morning, and I hope they will be a blessing to you. We have a lot of new faces with us today, a lot of visitors, and we're glad you're here. We hope that you have found us to be a loving congregation that loves you and has been welcoming to you. We count you as our friends, and we're glad that you're here. But I hope you can tell that we just love God. We love our God so much, and He's worth all the best that we have to give. It's been great to be served by our brothers who led us today, especially AJ. I loved seeing him lead every time he gets up here. He does such a wonderful job. Thank you, AJ, for getting our minds ready for our lesson today. This congregation is in the midst of a transitional period. Is this on? Can you hear this? All right, let me know if you can't hear me. I'll step out and get a little louder. Sounds quiet up here. All right. I'll just speak a little louder. Transitional period. This congregation is considering adding another man as a leader, as a shepherd of a congregation. And it's just a unique time when these happen in congregations. And so I thought today, what we would do in our study is consider what God has said in His Word ought to be the relationship between the shepherds and the sheep, between the leader of a congregation and the members of that congregation. You know, leadership is just important. It's crucial. Strong homes come from strong leaders. Strong businesses are built from strong leadership. And strong congregations come from being led by strong leaders. Now, when we talk about leaders in the church, we use usually one word, the elders. It's usually what we talk about. Who are the elders of the church? But in the Bible, one word that's used a lot over and over again to describe and define God's leaders is shepherds. And so here in Ezekiel 34, God sends a message through Ezekiel to the shepherds of Israel. And that at this time would be prophets and priests and the king. I want you to notice what he says here. Let's just begin together. Ezekiel 34, beginning in verse 1. It says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, Thus says the Lord God, Woe, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves! Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you've not strengthened. The diseased you've not healed. The broken you've not bound up. The scattered you've not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and severity you have dominated them. They were scattered for a lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock wandered throughout all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered all over the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search or seek for them." Pretty heavy indictment, isn't it? Notice what he said. Number one, you were feeding yourself and you didn't feed the sheep. You know, you're getting fat on your own food. You didn't care for the people. You notice all those words in verse 4 over and over. They were sick. You didn't strengthen. They were diseased. You didn't heal. They were broken. You didn't bound. They were scattered. You didn't bring them back. You didn't care for them. Verse 5 says not only were they scattered, they became prey for the enemies. And then in verse 6 again, he says they were scattered and they didn't have anyone to go after them. In other words, what he's saying was the leader's carelessness and neglect led for Israel's failure. And I'll tell you why this passage is important when we talk about shepherds today or elders today. Where these shepherds of old failed ought to indicate for us where shepherds today must succeed. Paul said in Acts 20, verse 28, "Shepherd the church of God." Shepherds care for the sheep, the needs of the sheep. I'm going to be honest with you though. That concept of leadership, whether from a congregational standpoint or an elder standpoint, it seems strange to many today. It seems strange to many churches, and it seems strange to many elders. And the reason why is that we've kind of been handed a model of church leadership that tends to imitate corporate America. It seems to be the model that most are following today, or at least many are. That is that the elders are the bosses. They are the CEOs, CFOs of the church. And then the deacons are all the managers, and they get everything done that the elders or the CFOs order. In the business world, CEOs and CFOs are concerned with one thing: budget, finances, money. And people, that's a whole other department. That's HR. I don't want to care about them. Just give them to someone else. And that mindset has trickled over into the church. I'd say, well, how's that coming to the church? Well, most of the elders' meetings in a lot of places kind of look like this. Do we need a new parking lot? How's the building doing? Are there cracks? Are there holes? Do we need a new broom? Let's get three quotes on that broom. And then let's talk about the chairs and the pews. And then let's talk about our financial report. Let's get some budgets. Three quotes on that. And we spend so much time talking about the place, the facility. Let's be honest about something for a moment. In the role of elders, do they make decisions on behalf of the congregation? Absolutely they do. But any decisions based on budget or building or plans or decisions, all of those have to be seen as secondary to their primary objective. And taking the words from Acts 6 and verse 2, the 12, that is the apostles, summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables." In other words, the most important thing we have to do cannot be neglected for the lesser important things. And so taking our role today, there are some things shepherds can do, but there's one thing that they must do. The primary objectives of shepherds in the local congregation is the sheep. Here's our passage, Hebrews 13, verse 17. You can keep your Bibles open there. We're going to come back here a lot today. This one verse, Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Hebrew writer says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." What is the shepherd's primary objective? Sheep. Sheep. The souls in this congregation. Feeding the sheep. Protecting the sheep. Leading the sheep. That is the primary objective. And any other decision, any other choice must be seen as secondary to this important charge. I'm going to tell you, if we just stopped here, ended our lesson here, would it not change, at least for some of us, the way we look at this? The way we look at these men, the way we look at their role, the way we look at what they're supposed to be doing. They're not managers of a facility. They're not a boss of the congregation. They are servants of the people. They are taking care of sheep. Us. Now what I want to do today in our lesson is kind of look at a two-sided coin here. I want to look beginning with the responsibility of the shepherds to you, the sheep. What responsibilities has God laid on them for you? And then I want to flip it and then talk about you. And that is the responsibility of the sheep to the shepherd. And I hope this will be some helpful thoughts for all of this going on in our time in this congregation. Let's begin with the first one. One of the responsibilities of the shepherds to the sheep is to set the example, to lead by example. And this is laid out in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, where Peter says, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." You notice in verse 2 how that begins, shepherd the flock of God. There it is again. Over and over again, your role is described as shepherd. You are a shepherd of the sheep. But what we're going to talk about right now is in verse 3 when he says, you're not to lord it over, you're not to be domineering of a congregation, but you're to lead by example. Which is a way of saying your leadership is not standing on the sidelines and saying, "All right, I want you to go ahead and watch for the pothole." You're not leading from behind, you're leading by example. You demonstrate what must be done by doing it yourself. Oh, what a way this would change congregations. Can't you imagine? If a congregation lacked in hospitality, it's where we suffered. Instead of getting up here and saying, "You need to be more hospitable," if the elders had more people in their homes, leading by example. If the issue was evangelism, we need to be more active in seeking and saving the lost. Instead of just saying, "Let's seek and save the lost," if the shepherds began by seeking and saving the lost. The point he's making is that the congregation will follow your example, and your leadership is not word only. Your example is what your leadership is. You're leading by what you do. I read a quote a couple years ago that said, "Congregations will imitate or follow." That's not it. Hold on. It just left. You ever have those moments it's there and it's gone? It's not coming. But I did read it a couple years ago. Man, it's contagious. Churches will reflect the personality of their leaders. That was not coming back. Churches will reflect the personality of their leaders.
And when I read that, I thought, oh, I don't know if that's really true. But, you know, the Lord has blessed me to be able to go to a lot of congregations in my preaching, to preach in different places. And I've seen it to be true. You got leaders who are cold and rude and just kind of standoffish, not active. You only see them on Sundays and Wednesdays, and you're just kind of here and there. The church is that way. Cold and distant, and you just don't feel welcome. But leaders who are really energetic and joyful and passionate, they're really authentic in their faith and in their devotion to God, you see that in the church. And so one of the responsibilities laid by God is that you lead not just by what you do. You lead by example, setting the right example. So not just in word, but also in action. Setting an example in parenting or in marriage, on holy living or in devotion to God. You lead by example. So shepherds owe the congregation a good example to follow. It's just going to be a good Sunday. Shepherds also owe the congregation or the sheep. They must know them. The responsibility of shepherds to the sheep is that they must know the sheep. And this is one of my favorite passages about shepherding. Proverbs 27, verse 23. The proverb writer says, "Know well the condition of your flocks and pay attention to your herd." I love that. Know well the condition of your flocks. You know, there's an old saying that says, shepherds smell like sheep. You know why they smell like sheep? There's not a sheep-scented cologne or candle. You smell like sheep because you have spent a lot of time with the sheep. That's one of the primary objectives, is to know the sheep. I mean, listen to the true shepherd as he said this. Jesus said in John 10, verse 3, "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name." He knows each of the sheep by name. You imagine in Luke 15, you have 100 sheep. That's a lot of names to know, but he knows them all by name. John 10, verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own." Or in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." I know the sheep. And so as shepherds of a local congregation are following the true shepherd, you've got to know the sheep. Question then, what does it mean to know the sheep? I would venture to say it's more than their name. And the name of their spouse, and the name of all their kids, if you can get that straight. It's more than where they work and how long they've been at that work, and it's more than what sports teams they like or don't like. You can get all that on Google. That's all face value things. Can I give you some ideas of what this might mean, or at least just the beginning place of this? How's their relationship with God? I mean, are they a Christian? And if so, how long have they been a Christian? And tell me about them. Are they growing? Are they thriving? Maybe are they discouraged? Maybe are they kind of fighting within each other? Maybe he feels like he's in a rut, or she's in a rut, or she's really discouraged or weighed down with something. How is their relationship with God today? Where are they? Or how about this one? Not do they have a family, how is their family? If they're married, how is their relationship with their spouse? Are they doing good, or maybe they're in a battle right now? Maybe they're in a real tough time. If they have kids, how are their kids doing? Are they growing to be more like Jesus? Is this person having issues with parenting, with the kids listening? How is their relationship with their family, and how is their family's relationship with God? And then what about this one? What are some of their strengths? What are some things God has blessed this person with talent-wise, and do they feel as if they are being utilized in the service of God? Or maybe they feel, you know, I just don't feel like my full potential is being reached in the service of God. I really don't feel like I'm an active part in His kingdom. What are their strengths? Do you know them? Are you using them? And then maybe what are some of their weaknesses? Some things that they know that they can do better in their own walk with God, but you know, they just struggle in it. I think a lot of us would say, I need help with praying. I don't pray enough. I don't know what I'm praying for. And I could use some help there. Well, what are their weaknesses? And obviously that's not the extent of it, but isn't that more about who we are? Now, doesn't this show us something? You cannot learn all of this about a person in the few moments we have in between services. One of my friends is a shepherd up north in Indiana, and I love what he said. He said, shepherding does not take place in the boardroom. It takes place in the family room. Because shepherding is investing in your sheep. Getting to know the sheep. And that requires two things that are hard to give. One, it requires time. And time is one thing we just don't have enough of. You ever notice that yet? It's gone. And you try and hang on to it, and you try and use it your best, but boy, it seems to get away really easy. Time.
Time is a huge requirement for the role of a shepherd because there's no substitute for spending time with the sheep. Know well the condition of your flock. The condition, are they hungry? Are they eating? Are they eating the right food? Are they in the right thing? Are they getting the Bible or a lot of some other writers? Are they in the right food? Are they sick? Are they discouraged? Are they fighting with each other? Are they wandering off from where they ought to be? Know the condition of your flock. That requires time. But I'm going to be honest with you. Man, nothing means more when a shepherd gives his time to the sheep. Think a shepherd who calls you and says, let's go out to lunch. And it's not because there's something wrong with you and I need to talk with you. It's because they say, I just want to see how things are going. I just want to talk with you and hear how things are going and offer. If I can do anything to help you, let me know. How awesome is it when a young person has something like a game or a recital? You look out in the audience and there's a shepherd and the wife. I mean, that game might have been miserable. He might not remember. He might have scored 2 points in that game. He might have missed every note on that page. But man, he's never going to forget that recital because the shepherd was there. How important is it when you come out of the surgery room and you see in the waiting room of a hospital the shepherds? And they're there for you to hold your hands. Time. It requires time. It also requires a listening ear because shepherds listen to the sheep. That means listening to their concerns, listening to their complaints, listening to their criticisms, listening to their advice and their thoughts and their ideas. You listen to the sheep. Listen to that language again from the proverb writer. Pay attention to the flock. You think back in that example of Acts 6 and verse 1 where it says, at this time while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. A complaint arose. You imagine if the apostles had said, they're always complaining. I mean, they just want more food is what it is. They're gluttons. Just, it'll serve itself. Just let it go. A complaint arose and they heard it. And they did something about it. Shepherds listen to the sheep. They listen to what they have to say. In fact, here's a hard quote for you. Leaders who don't listen will eventually be surrounded by people who have nothing to say. Isn't that true? I'm not going to bother talking to the shepherds about my issues, about my concerns, about my ideas, because they don't listen to me anyway. That's not what we once said. They listen to the sheep. So one of the responsibilities of shepherds to the sheep is to know the sheep. I know them. I know this people I'm leading. I know the people that God has entrusted to me. And then thirdly, shepherds lead the sheep. They lead the sheep. We just sang this twice, but the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me or leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Oh, we learned so much about shepherding from our true shepherd. And this psalm is just rich with thoughts about leadership. I just want you to focus on one thing. Have you noticed in this psalm the attention given to leading over and over again, how he leads? He takes them to the green pastures. He leads them by the still waters. He is leading them in the paths of righteousness. A shepherd leads the sheep. I want you to know something, though. I need to write this down. Leading implies two things. Leading, firstly, implies direction. A destination, a goal. You're heading somewhere. He took the shepherd here, took them to a place of nourishment and rest, the green pastures. He led them to a place where they could get refreshed and quench that thirst to the still waters, not the rushing waters. You ever have that, a water fountain, where you turn it on, it's just like gushing wind, but a still water where you can actually get something in your mouth. You can drink and be refreshed. He led them in the paths of righteousness, a place where you can grow and be honored in the things that are right. He led them there. Question for you today. Where are shepherds of a local congregation supposed to lead the sheep? Where are they to lead you to? Where is that destination? Where is that direction? Where are they leading you to? Might say, heaven! They're leading us home. Yes. Yes. But let's be honest, heaven may be a long way from here. Are there not some destinations we can hit before we go home? I'm talking about greater spiritual growth. I'm talking about more like Jesus than I was before. I'm talking about helping each and every member increase and abound in their service to God. You know what this means? Here's the question that needs to be asked. 5 years, 2021, where's this church going to be? 5 years. We're going to be doing this again, adding another shepherd, adding more deacons. Some of your kids are going to be 5 years older. Some of you who don't have kids might be having kids. Not going to put any pressure there. Some of you are going to be 5 years older. Where are we going to be in 5 years? Do you know the more important question? It's not where will we be, where should we be? Isn't that the question? For men who are entrusted with leading this congregation, caring over the souls, the question is, where should these people who God has placed in my hands, where should they be in 5 years? I know these people. I know where they are. I know in their walk with God. So since I know them, where should they be in 5 years? In other words, should they be stronger in their faith, deeper in their commitment? Are there things here that I know are not what they ought to be in 5 years? Should we be better at that? And once you get that up in paper, once you get that set in stone, I know that's where we need to be. That's when you ask the question, all right, this is where we need to be in 5 years. What are we going to do to get there? How are we going to achieve that? Does it mean bringing in some men to hold some special meetings to talk about the things we're trying to focus on? Does it mean maybe holding some special Bible classes so we can talk about that and study that together? Does it mean maybe that we have different themes along the year so we can give families something to think about and to dwell on, to work on together? Does it mean that maybe I give some different members special responsibilities to equip them in the service to get them ready and grow for that in 5 years? Listen, when you look at that, does it seem to you that the shepherd stumbled upon the green pastures? Did he just happen upon the still waters? Did he just wander on the paths of righteousness? No, he led them there. He led them there. And so growth and development of a congregation is a product of leadership. I'm leading you there. Leadership implies direction. I know where we're going. And where we're going is forward. Forward in our walk with the God. That's what a shepherd does. I'm leading you somewhere. Leading also implies that you know you're being followed. You ever done that before? I'm not ashamed to say I failed as a parent many, 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 many times in my 10 months of being a parent. Like kicking Benjamin out of bed our first night I had him. We were all in bed in Korea, and I wasn't used to having a third person in bed. And all I remember was stretching, and I hear a plunk and a cry. I thought, I'm not going to do it. Not going to make it. And then Bill Holtz says, he's so much safer in Jordan and Holly's hands than in an adoption or an orphan home. And I thought, have you ever been there before? Come on, follow me. And you're going that way and you turn back. Where did he go? You being followed? Because it's not just that sheep wander. They do. We get distracted. But have you noticed when shepherding is talked about in the New Testament, it's usually attached with the words like protect, guard, watch over. Just one example for you here. Acts 20:28, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Be on guard because there's something that is threatening not only your leadership, there's something that's threatening the sheep from where they ought to be, and that's Satan, the roaring lion. As the false wolves in sheep clothes who come in here with evil intent to divide and cause harm. And let's be honest, it's the sheep themselves who get these attitudes of apathy, indifference, contentions. Guard. Protect. How? Teaching the truth. Standing on the truth. The shepherds have to lead. And so they set the right example. They're knowing the people that they're leading, and then they're leading them. I'm taking you somewhere. I'm ultimately taking you to God in heaven. That's your final destination. But I want you to grow before you get there and be the best you can be for when Jesus comes, a true shepherd comes. Let's switch gears. Let's talk about the responsibility of sheep to the shepherd. Number one, sheep listen. Sheep listen to the shepherd. Jesus talked about this in John 10 when he said to him, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. In verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them because they follow me. The sheep listen to the shepherd. Why? Well, because the shepherd cares for him and protects them and feeds them. The shepherd has their best interest at heart. We listen to the true shepherd. Brethren, there's a sense in which we must listen to these shepherds too. Listen to them. Because I'm going to be honest with you, they have a lot to say. They're going to want to talk to you about marriage, about your marriage, about what makes a good marriage, a healthy marriage, a stronger marriage. Listen to them. Because guess what? They're married. And it's not just that they're married and for some reason their wife decided to stick with them, but if they could get divorced, they would. No, you're talking about thriving, good marriages. Men who have been married for many years, tested through different battles, and yet they are strong and fervent in their marriage. Listen to them. They're going to talk about parenting, about how to raise your kids, how to care for your kids, how to teach your kids the truth. Listen to them, because guess what? They're parents. They are parents. And talking personally to this congregation, you look at the shepherds we have. You look at Bill and Nan Holt and their kids. Joel is preaching the gospel in Puerto Rico. Jeff is a faithful Christian in Bowling Green and a great song leader. And then you have Jennifer and Julie. Right here, faithful, holy examples to this congregation, Bible class teachers. You talk about Tom and Dee. Did you hear what Zach said at the table today? I didn't even think about that with spiritual giving, that application today. He and Caitlin were an example of love and faithfulness to God. And then you have Jacob and Mackenzie up in Lexington. They know what it means to be a parent. And so when they come to you saying, hey, I have some advice, I have some counsel, I have some wisdom, listen to your shepherds. You listen to them because they know. They're going to talk to you about your habits, spiritual habits, reading the Bible, prayer, holy living. They're going to talk to you about bad habits. You missing services? You skipping out on Bible classes? You slacking off in your service? They're going to talk to you. Listen to them, because guess what? They're not trying to make your life harder. They're not trying to say, ha, I caught you. You're doing wrong. They're on your side. They're on your side because they want you to succeed more than anything. And so when they come to you with warnings, stay away from this, you're doing this wrong, or with encouragement, you can do this. Come on, I know you can. Listen to your shepherds. In fact, I would make the plea, don't just listen to them, pursue them. Especially when things are going wrong. And don't wait until your boat is at the bottom of the ocean to say, I have a problem. I think my marriage is in trouble. Yeah, your marriage is sunk. You should have gone to the elders when water was in the boat. Go to them. Listen to your shepherds when they talk to you. And not only listen, we follow. Sheep follow the shepherd. Listen again to the words that are used in Hebrews 13 when he says, obey your leaders and submit to them. Obey and submit. Do you see how that's qualified? For they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Obey them, submit to them, because they're trying to watch over you. And they're doing so realizing they're going to have to answer to God for it. We're not talking about an average Joe we found on the side of the street who knows nothing about God and saying, you know what, I want you to watch this person, make sure he's faithful to God. We're talking about men who are tested and tried and qualified by the Scripture to lead this congregation and have done so voluntarily. He's saying, follow them. Obey them. Do as they ask of you. Notice that last little phrase there. He says, for this would be unprofitable for you if you don't. It would be unprofitable for you. In other words, if you choose to disregard the direction and leadership of your shepherds, it's only going to bring about your harm. Because they are men who have the best interest of your soul in mind. Most importantly, the honor and glory of God, but secondly, your best interest. And to disregard that, to say, I don't need your advice, I don't need your counsel, you're only going to cause yourself harm. You listen and follow the shepherds. That means in small things, pews or chairs, red chairs or blue chairs, new building, old building, small things. But it also means in big things, bringing on another preacher, adding in another shepherd. Sometimes when someone needs to be disciplined and corrected, how to go about that procedure, you follow the advice of the shepherds. Do we just blindly follow? Of course not. That's not what we're talking about. They have to answer to God, and so do you. And so you test all things according to the Word of God. But listen, we need to follow them. And I just kind of want to tie this on with verse 7 of this context. He says, remember those who led you, who spoke the Word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Remember that. Look at the way they're living. look at their example and follow them. Follow their example.
And then sheep respect. Sheep respect the shepherd. You notice that little phrase in verse 17? Let them do this with joy. I wonder if some of us need to repent today, because we've made it really hard on the shepherds. We've stolen their joy. We've robbed them of the joy of the service. Because let's be honest, no one forced them to do this. God didn't come to them in a vision in the night. I haven't asked Tom. I don't think he did this. But saying, you need to be a shepherd. They volunteered. They volunteered to watch your soul like a watchman, like a guard. He's watching over your children and your spouse. He's trying to care for you. He's doing this voluntarily. Let them do this with joy. Don't be a pain in their side. Don't be a thorn in the flesh. Don't be someone who causes this to be a burden upon them. Listen to the words of Paul again. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. Does that not apply to elders? Appreciate them. Tell them so. You respect the shepherd. In fact, I want to end with this. If you have your bulletin, this is something I want you to write down. Or if you don't, just on a piece of paper. Five things I believe that shepherds need to hear regularly. Notice the word regularly. It's kind of like I love you to your spouse. It's not just on birthdays or at Christmas. Regularly. Often. Ready? Here's number one. I pray for you. I pray for you. These shepherds carry a great responsibility of trying to help you make it to heaven. They need to know from you that you are taking their names before the throne of God in good ways. Secondly, I trust you. I trust you. Because leadership today in America has lost it. You talk about any kind of elected position and we have an immediate distrust of anyone in leadership. These shepherds need to know, I trust you. I trust your judgment. I trust your decisions. I trust where it is you're trying to lead us. I trust in you and will follow you as you lead us in God's ways. Thirdly, I pray for your wife. I'm going to be honest with you. One of the most difficult positions in the congregation is an elder's wife. Because everything that the elder weighs upon his chest, it weighs on hers too. When he can't sleep at night, guess what? She's not sleeping at night. When he is moved to prayer, long nights of prayer and tears over the congregation, she is right there by his side, praying in tears. And yet, when the elders are praised and thanked, the elder's wife is oftentimes forgotten. And so they need to know, not only are you praying for them, I'm praying for your wife. Because I'm going to be honest with you. Anything good about a preacher or a deacon or an elder is their wife. What makes a good preacher, what makes a good deacon and a good elder is their wife. And I know they would agree with that. They need to know that you care for her and are praying for her too. I think our future is bright, number four. Because oftentimes what they hear is, you know, things used to be. Things used to be really good. In fact, do you remember the old days? Do you remember when such and such? Do you remember when so-and-so, such-and-such? We live in the old days, the golden days, the glory days, and there's a time and a place for that. But they need to hear, you know what? I think by the blessing of God that the future of this congregation is bright, that our best days are yet to come. And I believe that whatever vision you have for us and where it is we could be, I share that too. I think by the blessing of God we have great days ahead. They need to hear that from you. And then, of course, the obvious is thank you. Thank you. Because the unseen work of a shepherd is all those things. The sleepless nights, the long hours in prayers, the heartache and pain over souls who will not change. They're keeping watch over your soul, and they need to hear from the sheep that we're thankful that you serve us and the work that you do for us. You know, not every congregation has shepherds. Not every congregation has good shepherds. Kind shepherds. But can you see the wisdom of God in placing a position in a congregation of humble men who have devoted their lives to Him and wanting to help His people make it home and be the best they can be? Brethren, thank God for your shepherds. Thank God for your shepherds' wives. And these five things ought to be things you say before they leave. They're probably going to be the last ones here if you do, but do that. Regularly.
I love how everything we just sang beforehand kind of fits with what we're talking about, because the shepherd's role, what they're trying to follow and imitate, is our shepherd, the true shepherd, Jesus who leads, Jesus who feeds, Jesus who protects. In John 10, he calls himself the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. I'm giving what I have for you. I would rather die than to live in eternity without you. But then there's Luke 15 I want to leave you with today. You notice that last phrase before I get to Luke 15 of Psalm 23? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Follow me doesn't mean it's lagging behind. You know, it's going to catch up one day, but goodness and mercy will be there. It means a diligent pursuit. Goodness and mercy. God is pursuing you with goodness. He is pursuing you with mercy all the days of your life. Luke 15 pictures a sheep that's run far from the fold. And the shepherd says, yeah, I've got 99. What's one? He leaves the 99 and he goes for the one. Far into the mountains, Matthew's account would say, late at night with the lantern looking for that lost sheep. Christ is the shepherd. You are the sheep. You might be thinking, it's been a long time since I've been with God, since I've come to a church, since I've had anything to do with God. He certainly doesn't want me. He can't want me in this church. I've made too many mistakes. He is the shepherd coming after you. Coming after you. He's not done with you. He's not given up on you. He is pursuing you. And it could very well be that you're here today for that very reason. For him to connect to you, come back home. Come and be with me. And we're going to sing that very song, that Christ is the shepherd. David, let's put that up there. Christ is the shepherd, the loving shepherd, who's calling you home. Come back to me. And so if you're far from God, you have not been where you need to be, today listen to that shepherd calling you. Come on back home. Come to him. Let's seek that forgiveness. Let's seek that change. And if you need some prayers and need some help, we're going to do it right now. We're going to come on up here where I am. Let's do it right now. Let's do it as we stand and as we sing.